morning, everyone. I'm back again. You'll be getting sick, fed up of seeing this face standing at the front of the hall. But as far as I'm aware, this is my last visit to you for a wee while anyway. But I'm delighted to be back with you, and it's lovely to welcome all of you on what appears to either be the calm before, during, or after the storms. Plural. Last week you were congratulated in making it through the storm, and we've survived Kira and Dennis so far. Still a bit blustery, but the sun is doing its best to shine through. But you're most welcome this morning, and hope you feel as warmly welcomed as I do. There are a series of intimations before the big one, so let us go through this one here. The usual, if there's a fire, get out. Tea and coffee, enjoy the cuppa, enjoy the biscuits. I don't, so please enjoy them on my behalf. Sunday night at the manse is still postponed for obvious reasons, because it's no your minister standing here, it's me. And it's not good turning up in somebody else's house. Tuesday, the Guild at 1:30 p.m, we are welcoming Evelyn Porter from the North Parish Church, who will entertain us with church humour. How I wished I could go and see. As somebody who was sorting me out just before the service said, just be grateful that you'll not be featuring yet. The key word being yet, which puts a slight spin on things, and I'm worried. The next one here is a church magazine. It's due today. So if you've not brought it with you to hand physically to somebody, there's an email address. Do that. Church magazine editors can be scary. Craft groups. The craft group has got their cards once again over at the side. A variety of different cards, and you would be most invited to put a donation in the box for any of the cards that you would like. I didn't see one, congratulations, you made it through the storm, but there are many other ones there. While Dave is off, the pastoral cover has been provided by Reverend Scott Cameron from the High Kirk, and his telephone number is on the screen, but if you contact other folks or look online, you can find that number if you need it. And that's us. Now, usually whenever there's a bag of excitement, it's for the children's address, but it's not. In here, there is a beautifully wrapped box. And it's a beautifully wrapped box not because it's Christmas, not because it's my birthday. No, I know. Thank you. And there is a box of pens. Now, the pens, I'm sure, are counted. It's probably just for me, because I'll go home after some day and go, why have I got a handful of pens? And it's because I've signed something or I've filled in something, stick it in my pocket and walk on. So there are a box of pens, some cards, and this box. Several months ago, there was a small group of people from both here and your linked congregation down the road in Ardeer that was formed to identify ways to move forward. But this wee group discovered that there were a whole host of questions that were arising about the working together and the coming together of all of this. And that led to some misinformation. Now, if you watch Donald Trump, you might call it fake news. To deal with this, there was a fabulous suggestion that an event would be held where we addressed all of those questions. And that would allow everybody in both congregations to feed in their questions to this box. And all of the questions posed would have the opportunity to be answered. So with Dave's blessing, it was agreed that the joint Kirk sessions would find a way of doing this. So the way that this has happened is in the form of this beautifully, very well sealed box, with question marks on the top, so there's no ambiguity. It's no your Christmas present or your birthday present. This is the question box. And there are two elders who have been appointed to oversee this process. This was then taken to the learning community that exists and who have brought this whole thing into being. This has not just happened overnight. This has been a thought process that's been arrived at for this. So from this Sunday, the 16th of February, there is going to be this box. And there is another box that I've got to take with me down the road. I've left it beside my bag with my car keys so that they get it on the same day too. And everyone's asked, or invited rather, to put their question into the box. There is no need to put your name on it. It's merely for questions. The boxes are going to be available in both congregations for the next five Sundays, and on the Sunday, the 15th of March, they're going to be taken in, and the questions looked at by the learning community. They will then start drawing up answers in response to the questions, and these will be presented after a shared worship at the end of March on Sunday the 29th. Everyone has the opportunity during tea and coffee to be able to write down your questions and pop them in the box. You can talk to others, you can confer, you can add any question that you might want to put forward. So if you do one this week and during the week you think, oh, I should have asked, you can add another one next week or in a couple of weeks' time. But you are welcome to take them away as well. So if there's a question that you think, I want to think how best to word it, feel free to take a piece of paper. Don't take the pens because they're counted. But you can take a piece of paper or you can bring one pre-written and pop it in the box. So there is the box, there is the pen and the questions there. And you would be invited to put in the questions that are in the forefront of your mind. The ones that you are given prayerful reflection to and you think, do you know what? I know God's got it, but maybe I need a practical response as well. And that's what the purpose of this is for. Every effort will be taken to ensure that as many of these questions as possible are answered and addressed after worship on the 29th of March. The psalmist writes, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, the salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord rejoices, his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Let us be glad and let us worship God in the singing of the first hymn, Christ be before me. Let us come before God now in prayer. Let us pray. God who is, God who has always been, and God who will be into the future, faithful God, journeying God, God who is with us, you are our God, beyond us in all mystery, with us in all of our struggles, you guide us onwards. This morning, it is your faithfulness we praise. It is your name that we call upon and your presence that we worship. We are here. We are here before you on this holy ground, in this special time that we gather together, offering our lives and ourselves to you. We come open to your Spirit and trusting in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. God of Abraham and God of Jacob, your faithfulness echoes down through the centuries, yet too often our commitment is much less certain. Forgive us, Lord. God of Moses, of Mary, and of Peter, your call invites us to follow and trust the way of your love, yet too often we seek excuses and an easier path. Forgive us, Lord. God of Israel, of Palestine, and indeed of all nations, your concern is for justice. It is for peace. Yet too often we ignore the cries of the oppressed. Forgive us, Lord. God of gardens, of windswept wilderness, God of all creation, you have given us such wonders to care for. Yet too often we don't acknowledge the damage that we are doing to your creation. So forgive us, Lord. God of justice, of peace, of love, help us this morning to know that you do forgive us, that you set us free from our past failings, that you make us new, and that you invite us, mere mortals as we are in the grand scheme of your creation, to set foot once again on a journey with you. Thank you, Lord. So hear us now as we join in one voice, saying the words that Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The title of this section is Protection from Harm, and we can think in a whole host of different ways what type of harm we may be protected from. What type of protection we might need in different situations and in different circumstances. The most obvious one in the past week is Kira last weekend and Dennis this weekend. Two storms that have battered and have caused travel disruption. They've interrupted the way of life for so many different people. And the one thing that struck me yesterday was there was a flood defense that was damaged. That protection that was put in place to protect a community had become damaged. So when it comes to thinking about protection from harm, what kind of harm are we thinking about? I shared with you, if not right at the start of this series, certainly the last time that I was with you in training, my degree when I studied at university the first time was geography. And part of that was looking at natural disasters. And I will always remember this new lecturer who came in and stood in front of us. And up it came on the screen, natural disasters. And I love these types of things. Not because I'm sadistic, but I just love the power and the magnitude of volcanoes, of earthquakes, of storms. And she said, natural disasters, are they a thing? And I'm thinking, well, I hope so, because I've been through 3 years of university thus far, quite excited about these things. What she was meaning was, there is a difference between a natural occurrence and a natural disaster. There have always been storms. There have always been earthquakes. There have always been volcanoes. That's the nature of the planet in which we inhabit. Her argument was that it only becomes a disaster when we add humanity. A natural occurrence will always happen, but we only consider it a disaster when there is something that is affected that is man-made. Whether it is life that is put at danger, whether it is a building. There was a building down in the Scottish borders that last weekend that fell into the river, I think it was the Teviot, that it fell into it, and I'm going, that is the power of nature. For those living in the building, yes, it was a disaster. For those in that area, it is a disaster. But the building wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for people. We can protect our own selves. When we lift the hot dishes out of the oven, we need to put on protection in our hands. Otherwise, we burn ourselves. But when it comes to journeying through life, when it comes to discerning the right way to go and which way we are being called to go and which way we desperately ourselves want to go, we need to trust in something a wee bit bigger than a man-made defense. We need to trust in something a bit more than a hard hat for fallen debris. We need to trust a wee bit more than oven gloves for lifting something hot out of an oven. Journeying through life is not predictable. So this morning, how do we protect ourselves from harm? How do we protect ourselves is what we're going to be thinking about in the line in the Lord's Prayer. Last week we said, lead us not into temptation. This week it's, deliver us from evil. This is the bit of the petition, the bit of the prayer. Protect me, please, Lord, from harm. Show me the way you want me to go. Whenever we journey through life, we are the ones that can make the disaster, not God. We are the ones who need to seek his way and seek that what happens to us is an occurrence, but we don't journey through it alone. We consider it a disaster whenever we lose sight of God. We need to keep our eyes firmly fixed on the prize, which is heavenly treasure, and living alongside him. He doesn't let us come to harm if we constantly journey alongside and close to him. He's got us in the palm of his hands, and we're going to do an old favorite. He's got the whole world in his hands just now. So if you can do the actions, feel free. And I will, but I don't have my wife sitting in the front row talking me through it. She's like my wee auto cue usually. So if I muck it up, go with what the ones you know. He's got the whole world in his hands. Let's start. I picked an easy one with actions because there are a lot more complicated ones out there. We now respond to God in the giving of our offering. The offering will now be received. Thank you. Let us come before God once again in prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, God with us, we gather as your body at this time and in this space, opening our hearts and our minds to other places, to other people, to your whole creation in all its beauty and its brokenness. As the earth cries out, buckling under the pressure of overgrazing, of intensive farming, as temperatures rise because of an inaction in climate change, as oceans change, as creatures become extinct, open our ears, we cry out to you, so that we hear the cry of creation. May your will be done, Lord God, as it is in heaven. As people cry out, as land dries out, as floods wash away people's hopes and futures, as food and water become scarce in places, open our eyes, Lord God, so that we see what is happening. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. As neighbors cry out, as wars destroy, as violence tears apart, as occupation divides, open our minds to understand our place in the world. Open our hearts to understand the role we can play in delivering peace in our communities. May your will be done, Lord God, as in heaven. As friends cry out, as death claims futures, as loss shakes our present, as fear blocks the way ahead for us, open our hearts to know and to believe and to trust that you are with us all every step of the journey. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. Jesus, God with us, as we open our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts, pour out your Spirit upon us that we would be transformed. Then may our words, may our actions be guided by you to change minds, to soften hearts, and in turn change your world. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen. We're going to stand once again together to sing "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is."
I'm not afraid. This morning's reading is taken from the Epistle to the Romans at chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. I am reading from the New International Translation, and this section is headed Love in Action. Hear the word of God. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
We're going to sing once again, God is our strength and refuge. And after much discussion, this is the right version, but I believe in November you sang a different version. So we're going to do this, God is our strength and refuge. Let us pray. God, help us turn the written word into the living word through the spoken word, we pray. Amen. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The last verse of the reading that we heard this morning. Sin, evil, sin is like a smashed glass that you thought you'd cleared up ages ago. But from time to time, in the dark, with a wee glint of light, there in the dark corners, you find the odd jaggedy bit. And if you don't deal with it, someone might get hurt. We find a whole host of reasons, a variety of things in avoiding the truth. We try and rationalize our actions. We might compare ourselves to others and think, well, what I'm doing is similar to what they're doing, but it's not quite as bad. But we all do it. Not one of us sitting in here this morning can hand on heart say that we haven't done something questionable in the eyes of God. And like a shattered glass, there will be occasional little glints every now and again that remind us of that mistake, unless we can truly accept the forgiveness. So what has this all got to do with the line, deliver us from evil, that we explored earlier? In this line, we are petitioning ourselves, we are petitioning our Heavenly Father, and we're calling out to Him for help to stay away from all which is evil, from breaking the glass in the first place. Please, God, lead me. I want you to be the one who is giving me direction. That's what we're crying out. For when we take our eyes off of God, when we look away, as we looked at last week, we can be led astray and go off in the evil one's direction, following the temptations and the ways of the world. And when we so do, we end up in his hands, not in God's hands. We end up in his hands. As we venture through life, what we want to do is to serve God. And what we do in and through our service to our Lord, that's what we should be doing, not for our own selfish gain and earthly praise. In the reading this morning, verses 10 to 13 are translated in some sort of way to commands in the English language. They strike you as a list of instructions of things to be. They tell the reader what to do and what's expected of them. Hate, cling to, devote yourself, never lack in zeal, be joyful, share, practice. Each one is telling the reader in no uncertain terms what false love is. If we do anything but we don't do it because of a love for and of God, then it's false. So we can do those things. We can hate what is evil. We can cling to what is good. We can devote ourselves to some things, but if we're not doing any of this because of a love for and of God, then that is false. But in fact, that's maybe not the original meaning of the text. Because in actual fact, Paul only used one command in the original Greek text. The original Greek text didn't have it as a list of things to do, a to-do list. It was only one sentence. That whole passage was in one sentence. And it started off with love genuinely. That would be how we would roughly translate it in modern day parlance. It would be love genuinely. All of the rest of the examples in that sentence were just that. They were examples. They were providing practical examples, without necessarily the active doing words, the verbs that we heard today. So, for complete simplicity, word sincere fits here as well. Love must be sincere. There can be no hypocrisy. There can be no pretend and falsehood to the reasons for love. You can do those things, but if you're not doing it because of a genuine love for and of God, then that's the wrong motive. There can be no ulterior motive. For genuine love to be exhibited, we must let go of evil. We must seek God's leading towards all that is love and the all that he wants for each and every single one of us. From the original text, we could deduce that instead of concentrating on letting go of all that is evil, that instead of enduring affliction or being fervent in spirit or being joyful and all the texts that we saw lists, the original text actually is structured in such a way that all we are, that all we do, flows, naturally flows. It's not extended effort. For when we have genuine love, the rest of it just falls into place and doesn't require additional action. It flows from a genuine love. God will protect us as we serve him. For when we have a genuine love, it will flow from us in what he wants for us. The kind of love spoken of here is the source and the spring from which every good thing we do comes from. That fresh burn in the top of a hill that flows into a mighty river is right at the start. The kind of love where its source is God himself. On the other hand, if we lose sight of that genuine love, if we lose sight of that original source of love which flows naturally from us, if we lose sight of this, we begin to fall into the ways of the evil one. All of our efforts, once motivated by love, they become a chore and we can't be bothered anymore and we just, we'll pursue other things. Our life will disintegrate round about us. But we don't do all we are called to do alone. We can call out at any point, God, lead me. We can come back to him at any time. What happens if you do call out to someone? What happens? I was doing a CPR awareness event the other day in the local high school, and I had to precede that comment with, please don't try it. But what happens if you shout for help? The chances are somebody will come. And a room of 24, 14-year-olds all shouting help at once, I'm imagining there would be a fair turnout of staff coming to respond to our need. But more often than not, when people hear a call for help, they'll stop, they'll listen. Is somebody in genuine danger or are they at it? But there's a reaction, isn't there? More often than not, when people hear it, they will stop. They will look. They're listening. And then they're responding. Now I want you to imagine for a second that you're rock climbing. And I had a conversation about being in the Scouts when I was a youngster growing up. And I loved the rock climbing, but you would always get so far and think, I can't see where I'm going anymore. I'm not sure where I'm putting my hands and my feet or my nose, anything really, to try and hold myself onto this cliff face. I don't know where I am going next. You think you can't go any further. There's no handholds that you can see or feel. Your feet, your hands are locked in the position that they're in. You can't go any further. And you sigh, I'm giving up. But your climbing buddy hears you. That person hears you and says, reach up there, 30 centimeters to your right and up. Feel there's a perfect grip. You see, your call was responded to. That cry out in despair, somebody heard. And it's now up to you. Do you listen and trust the person who's maybe, 40 meters down below you? Do you trust that person? You find it and you think, well, there's one out of four places for my hands. Right, I've got it. Where are the other three bits going? But it's up to you whether or not you trust. Your climbing buddy offered you the help. They directed you from failure, from being stuck, and having to climb on blindly. If your climbing buddy does that, just think about how much more fabulous it is if we cry out to God, "Protect me, God, for I want to serve you." In our despair, we can call out. We can ask for rescue. We can ask for guidance and where to grip so that we're not gripping hold of evil. We can cry out. But this is the clincher. We need to know when we need to seek it. And it's not always in the last moment whenever we think there's no way forward. It's relying on that constant, ever-present protection. So how do you know when you need to cry out? You see, it's not as clear as climbing, or maybe it is. Let's look at some of the commands that the NIV has as a translation, which was more practical advice so that we didn't need to slip away, so that we focused on that flowing, genuine love. Don't lose zeal. Such a short word, meaning enthusiasm and passion. So we've not to lose our zeal, our enthusiasm, our passion for Christ. Christians cannot take things an easy-going way. We cannot go into the things that we are called into half-heartedly. We go into it fully and enthusiastically. We are not losing the zeal. All around us can lose sight of what's important, and they can lose sight of the way forward when things become sluggish and routine. If we become lethargic and we are dragged down by them, that's when the evil ways creep in. We've lost our zeal because we've lost the connection to that flow of genuine love. Another one of Paul's practical bits of advice was loosely translated to grasp the opportunities presented to you. Life presents us with all sorts of fabulous opportunities, and it's up to us entirely whether or not we accept them. A bit like that handhold that I spoke of, it's up to us. But we've also got the opportunity to let go of something that we know is wrong, the thing that's dragging us down. We have the opportunity to say something constructive and something encouraging. We have the opportunity at times to be able to be helpful and comforting to those most in need. One of the saddest things in life, however, is that so many, many times we fail to grasp onto those opportunities presented to us by God. Theologian Willie Barclay said, "There are three things which never come back: spent arrows, the spoken word, and lost opportunities." Keeping our spirit at boiling point, keeping our spirit always on fire for God, must be the thing that sets us apart from those round about us. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, it says, "The one whom the risen Christ could not stand was the person who was neither hot nor cold." So we need to be on form constantly. Not lukewarm, but passionately. Boiling point. Too often in today's world, people feel that responsibility is for everyone else but me. If something needs done, somebody else will do it. We apply a couldn't care less attitude in some aspects of life. You see, as Christians, we are called to be different. How different? Well, another piece of practical advice is to be affectionate to one another, doing things for others in mutual brotherly love. Family love is the Greek word that is used. He's got brothers and sisters in his hands. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. But if we extend this a little, yes, I've said that he talked of the family love, storge, in Greek. Definitely there, family love, all to do with family. But I want to extend that we want to grow our family. Jesus taught us to love others so that they may too know his love. So as brothers and sisters, we need to encourage the love beyond these walls. We love because we were first loved by him. And with love comes honor. And this is something I feel very passionately about. Very passionately. How do you show honor to others? Why do we do what we do? Why do you do what you do as members, as elders of this congregation? You see, there are two things that people can do it for. There is for earthly thanks and for earthly accolade, or we can do it because you care and you're motivated by love. That love that flows from a source in God. So often we think people need to be given their place, or people go unnoticed or unthanked. I've had a number of conversations over the past week about references and people's suitability for various vocations and jobs. In my previous vocation, I read many application forms, read many references, and spoke to many folks in interview. It is so easy to see through the words into the hearts of the motivations of why people want to do what they do. Doing a job you do for monetary reward is one thing, but carrying out a vocation because you have a heart, because you have a passion, you are called to do something that you can see just by talking to someone. This week, I have been humbled by the number of times where I've supported people in following a true heart into a vocation, whether it's been interview preparation, whether it's been writing a reference for another. And I think in each of those individuals, the right thing that they are doing, because it was a draw, a genuine passion, they were called to it, not for the pay, but because they cared. As Christians, what we do is led by our heart, or at least it should be. We should be able to stand up, and we should be able to say nothing. For those who stand up and say, look what I've done, that grinds other folk down and think, I'm not as good as them. What we do should be done in humility. Too often, people don't like doing that because they want to take glory for themselves, leaving others going, well, why am I bothering? You see, we as a family need to pull together, and we need to demonstrate true humility and support others in showing true humility in our actions. And when I talk about a family, I don't just mean here in this congregation, but I mean in churches, the length and breadth of the entire kingdom. We've got Jesus as our example to look to. Jesus spoke to an audience, raised stories constantly. Stories of wealthy patriarchs, stories of strong kings, victorious heroes, but much to the audience's surprise, he instead honored people who have little value in the world, those who are poor, those who are meek, the persecuted, those who mourn, the social rejects, the hungry, the thirsty. His stories constantly featured the wrong people as heroes. The prodigal son, the good Samaritan, Lazarus, the dodgy tax collector, Zacchaeus. His glory was that he laid aside his glory, and that the glory of the church shone through. The kingdom glory shone. And the glory of the church universal, is when we lay aside respectability and doing things to be seen to be doing things. And rather we reach out to those as Jesus reached out to. We need to gather those on the fringes, not those within our own ranks. It is not easy to give each other priority in honor, but ask yourself, why do you do what you do? For the love of God and for the love of others. This brings us full circle this morning. So we must love others. We must love others. And then the practical things will just naturally flow. If we are led astray by the evil one's temptations, eventually we'll end up in his hands. If we lose sight of what we do through genuine love, then we must open ourselves in position. Lead me, God, for I want to serve you. In the line, deliver us from evil. When we say that, it should be our heartfelt prayer that God would keep us safe as we venture through life in the Lord's service. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Loving and forgiving God, you call us to do what we do because of love. So help us this morning to seek that source, that beginning, the place from which all of our action should flow. For when we have that genuine love and we acknowledge and accept that genuine love, the rest of everything just flows naturally. Help us not to be overcome by evil, we pray. And help us to have the strength to do good, to overcome evil for others. These things we pray in your most precious name. Amen. We need to be grounded in love. And we are going to sing, Will Your Anchor Hold? A good BB favourite. So I'm covering all of the organisations this morning, Scouts and Climbing, and the BB to finish. Let's stand as we sing our final hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold? Thank you. Richness and fullness of God's grace. May you experience every dimension of the love of Christ. May the Spirit dwell within you through faith. So go now in the strength of the Holy One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with whose grace, whose love, whose forgiveness and blessing goes with us into the week that lies ahead and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our door.